how he walks into that, and Father, how you will develop him as a true disciple, as a true evangelist of Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that this morning, the things that he will be sharing, Father, that it will carry life, truth, and Father, that the seeds that he will be sowing, Lord, that it will produce much fruit. Father, we honor him and we receive him as a gift from you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, JJ. Hello. Okay. So, good morning, congregation. I will try to do this in English today, so there may be some flaws, but bear with me. Sorry that it's going a little bit over time, but we know that in eternity we will be worshiping God forever and 24/7, so let's start training for that so long. Also nothing else, that's what I wanted to say. So, I would just like to start with a dream I had last night. It wasn't obviously on here because I only had it last night. But I want to tell you about it. It was like a mission field, not mission field like in as in Christian mission field, just like army kind of, it was war or something. It was really like havoc and stuff, and people were running and stuff was happening. And so me and like, we were not a lot of people, were in one, like, I don't know if you can call it a barracks, but it's like a small house in this big field. There were other houses as well, of the, like, I could sense it's enemy houses. It was almost like a game of Call of Duty. And so we were in a smaller house, or we were a smaller bunch of people together, but I could sense that we were Christians, like born-again Christians, and the other people were much more in number, but like we, you know, I realized that there were a point where we could have attacked more, or I could have attacked at all, and so we were just standing and looking this thing in the natural, like, why, like, there's so much more, why aren't they attacking us, because we were waiting, like, what's gonna go down. And so I remember them distinctly saying that they are much more than us, we shouldn't. Like, that, from their side, they were screaming to each other, don't shoot or don't whatever, they're much more than us. But we weren't. We were like not even a tenth of who they were. And so I just believe it's God, you know, really telling us that we have backing. You know, God backs us in life, and, you know, his angels, his warring angels are with us when we walk with him. It's really crazy to think that, you know, that even if we're down in number, we are not down in spirit, you know, we're really up there with Christ, because he backs us in life. And for the message today, it's just about, because I was sitting in spur one day, and I knew I had I wanted to say something else as well. Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. So you know how some people, not me, but some people are scared of chochas, you know, but that chochas is more scared of the people than the people of the whatever. The chochas are scared of the people, but no, people don't always know that. So you get some people who's really freaked out by that. And so I was really thinking that the enemy is really like that. Like, he's, sometimes we are so scared of the enemy, and oh, the devil is doing this, and oh, the devil is doing that. And then it kind of like, it makes us not walk into the fullness of God because of being scared of what the enemy is trying to do. But if we realize that God backs us, he's behind us, and like, we are much stronger than the enemy, you know, you just troubled by Chochaki, and that thing is gone. You know, we must understand the authority. Really, we must just know who we are in Christ. And so this message is called Cut Out to Follow Jesus. And I was literally, the words just came to mind, like, or to my spirit, when I was just preparing as to, I was quiet and asked God, like, what does he want me to share, you know, because there's so many options, there's so many things. And so immediately it just popped up, like, you're cut out, not just me, you as people of God, we are cut out to follow Jesus because we have his backing, because we have his enablement of his Holy Spirit that enables us to do all things that pertain to life and godliness. Like, we don't shy anything. Like, if we walk in the fullness of God, we won't miss it, you know. So I just want to run through some scriptures here that it may seem like they don't correlate so well, but I'm going to try to just tie them together at the end, because it's almost like sometimes when I'm coaching javelin, I just want to give them all at one time. So do this, and then like, it look like that then, because they still don't know what I mean. But so to take it one step at a time is good. But even when I tell them all these things, then it, on the long term, it seems to help, because they go home and they do their homework and they have more things to do homework about. So that's kind of what I'm aiming with here. So I hope you don't spiritually look like this afterwards, but I do hope that you can meditate more on this and all that kind of thing. So why are we here? Basic 101. Why are we here? To make a long story short, there's lots of scriptures, but I'm just going to stick with Isaiah 43 verse 7. It's that we are created by God and for God and for his glory, because he says, Bring my sons and daughters from afar, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And then 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 to 20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? And then this is just amazing, like, you are not your own. I don't even need to say anything on that. We are not our own. For you were bought with a price. And that ties in with the communion that we had this morning to reflect on the price that was paid for us. And it says, so glorify God in your body. So I'm going to stick with keeping it like that because the Bible says it perfectly. I can't top anything. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. I believe in advance is way before we were born. So we are God's handiwork. So that's why we are, like, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to stand still on this for just a short while and say, like, you know, we've heard it and we've said it also sometimes, like, when we struggle to do certain things and we say, like, you know, but God knows my heart and things like that. But if we go to the Word of God, there's so many scriptures which says, yes, He looks at your heart. And that's the problem, because He really looks at it. Like, we can maybe deceive ourselves still, but He really knows what's going on in there. But He says that everything that's in our hearts will fill over to deeds. Our deeds will just tell us what is in our hearts. That's really basic. So for us, if I say, I'm not even, wait, listening. If I say, it's my intention, it's like really in my heart to do a few bicep curls, like Cheslin sometimes says it. You know, he doesn't always do it, but he says it sometimes. Then if he doesn't do it, was it really a thing for him? Like, because he would have chosen a lot of other things then in front of that. So that's what we sometimes do, and that's just what I want us to, like, realize. So that if this ever occurs, and we, like, we just say to ourselves, you know, God knows my heart. Like, I'm not committing 100% for His kingdom at the moment, but He knows my heart. My intentions are, like, I want and this and that. But if we see our deeds just not, it's just not lining up, and it's like struggling deeds. Like, it's like I'm falling in this, falling in that. Like, we should just really be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves the question, you know, are our hearts really intertwined with God? With God's heart towards us? Are we really in one with Him? And so, if the message is called Cut Out to Follow Jesus, I actually want to add the word together at the end. After that dream of last night, I really believe that it should be Cut Out to Follow Jesus together. If you even look at the Our Father prayer, like the song, it says Our Father, it's never My Father. It's everything is a team. Like, Christianity is a team sport. It's not a game of chess like we learned in Encounter 2. It's not like a one-horse race. It can't be. We'll never succeed if we try to do this thing alone, if we try to run this race alone. So this is what I'm so blessed by. You know, when I came to salvation, this was the biggest thing for me. It's when I was isolated and alone, I was struggling. It was just almost impossible. But when God gave me the support structure, like, if I'm thinking about that dream, just the core group of us being together in with the backing of God, with His, you know, we are united in Him, then the enemy is so much more, but they're so scared to do anything. So that's just where I believe that God is wanting us to just make a mind shift as to, don't just defend or be thankful that no enemy firing darts are coming towards you, but actually now go and do something. You know, actually fire the darts of the Word of God, because the Word of God is a sword. So use it. I believe we must, the more active we are in this, the more we're going to start really doing the will of God, but also doing the Word of God, because the Word of God is the will of God. So if we do that, you know, we're gonna be so filled with joy, because we're gonna see things happening, like even small things, you know, big things, small things, all things. Like, we're gonna really see things happening, you know, and we'll be so excited, because we'll be seeing, okay, so the more I advance and actually do something, the more I'm actually seeing, you know, I'm stomping over the enemies. You know, it's like we have to stomp out for a living. Like, that's like what Todd White says. And it's so true. Like, we shouldn't just be scared, or actually even the armor of God. It's the front is covered, not the back. Our brother should cover our back, but it's the front that's covered. The breastplate of righteousness and all of the things is for the front, is for advancing. So I just want us really to get our minds around this. Like, God really wants us to advance. And we are not called to serve an ordinary life, to just... we're not called to survive, we are called to conquer. We really are, like, in the name of Jesus. Not on our own, not to claim anything for ourselves. So, but it's so exciting when we see things happening and we know it's not our own strength, it's by the power of Christ. And Christ just turning our worlds around, just seeing Because if we put him first, we'll see things happening, you know. And if we don't live for ourselves, it's just amazing. It's an amazing journey. I'll never look back because God saved me from so much. And even when I was a Christian, you know, it's still, life still kind of sucked because I wasn't active, because I was passive. So you can be a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, but you can still like be so stagnant, you know, if we don't have this mindset of Christ, which says, go, pursue the things which God has called for you to do and advance across the enemy lines and, you know, conquer. Basically just conquer because we have the backing of God. We are much more because we have God's warring angels and the Holy Spirit with us. So what is better than that? And then just number two, slide number two, is just to make it simple, you know, have faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. So have faith, love God, and reach lives. That's basically just a general direction for us to walk in. Have faith, love God, and reach lives. And then Romans 10 verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes from hearing the message, and the message from the word of Christ. So the more word we read, the more we read the word of God, the more faith will develop in ourselves. That's what the Bible teaches. So now the question is, sometimes we feel full of faith, but then it dies down again sometimes. So why? You know, why like that? And the answer, I believe, is in James 1 verse 22. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And so the summary I want to give with that is that faith, it comes by hearing. It will only remain by doing. If we don't do what we hear and see God tell us to do, it's only going to be like the Dead Sea. The water's going to come in, but there's going to be no outflow. It's going to be dead. Throw that water away, it's going to mean nothing. So I really want us to always keep our pipes open for the grace of God. We are only conduits for His grace to flow through. So I want us to realize that whatever we receive, as we get excited, like God's showing me this, He's showing me that, don't keep it. You know, share it with the world. We are meant to share things because it will also develop another person's faith to grow. And that's going to be a blessing for us as well, because we're going to see God using us, and we're going to really appreciate that. Because who are we that God would use us? But He wants to. Anybody who's willing, He wants to. And so then, slide number three, how do we act in faith? Like, it's not always an easy thing just to step out of your comfort zone and do stuff. But I believe if we have a better relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's going to not be a biggie. It's going to be we're going to be much more able to do things when we know who we are in Christ, but we know the backing of the Holy Spirit. When we know that the Holy Spirit is given to us as our helper. So wherever we fall short, God's grace and His Holy Spirit is there to get us over that line of where we fall short. Because then we know, we cannot claim it and say, hey people, I'm this great Christian, look at what I'm doing. No, only by God's Holy Spirit and by God's, you know, if we know that he backs us in life. If we really know who we are in Christ, we don't need to fight this battle alone. And also with brothers and sisters in Christ, but also with the knowledge of the glory of God being around us by the Holy Spirit and His backing, that He values us. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, so He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, bubblegum. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Nor by might nor by power. So, might and power seems fleshly, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, God Almighty. So by my Spirit is just the crux here, is the key, is the thing that, don't first fight it in your own. First concur with God. First do it with the knowledge that you know the Holy Spirit is backing you in the specific thing which you know you're facing, because all of us will be facing, you know, different things. So nor by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous, do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So whenever you're walking in that direction, you're following God, you're doing things because you know He's leading you to do it, never feel like it's struggling here. Where's God in this? No, He says He's right there with you. He's right there with you. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4 says, His divine power and His divine power has granted us to us all things. All things should be so bigly written, and that's not correct English, but anyway. He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of your sinful desire. And Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Matthew 28 verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, again, I am with you always to the ends of the age.'" So it really comes down to this, that we are never alone in this. Never, never. We shouldn't be ever alone in this. If we are in the boat with Jesus, if we are part of our Father's business, if we're in the boat with Jesus, He will be in the boat with us. And our boats will never sink because God's going to be in it. So let's go on. Okay. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, let's hear. Obedience. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." You know, that's just amazing, the backing of God in this, if we know that there are blessings for obedience. And the more obedient we are, the more backing of God we will receive, because He says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And in faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him." I think in the NIV it says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not oppervlakkig, I don't know what that is in English, but superficial. Yes, not those who superficially seek Him, but those who are diligently seeking Him. And then just number 5, you know, there's so much stuff sometimes keeping us back, and we wonder why and how. And then I'm thinking about that scripture, but it's not here, that we should throw off everything that hinders and entangles, and you know, throw off everything that can hold you back, and walk heavenwards towards the goal which Christ has called us for. Let's see. So to have the mind of Christ will be super important, because with the mind of ourselves we will be sometimes become deceived. But if we know the mind of Christ, we know the power that we have in Christ, and we know the backing of God in our lives. So to have the mind of Christ, we really need to remove impurities, because it will only slow us down. Any impurities. I mean, this is just 3, but there are probably 3 billion. Politics, debates, pride, etc. If we want to follow God now, and there's a person we can testify to, and this person is just, it's difficult because it's all this discussions and this and that, that's going to be a slowdowner. It's going to slow us down, because to debate with someone is impossible. But to show them the love of Christ, no matter how much they may irritate you, to bless them to go away, I believe will bear much more fruit. So that's just one example of how I want to motivate us to remove any kind of things that can frustrate us, any impurities, anything that can slow us down. Because we are made to run with the gospel, and in that we shouldn't overspend time with things and debates and all that kind of stuff. Love of Christ will be always number 1. Love, golden rule kind of love. You know, there's a song, love, 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 love. You know, you don't all know that, but it's singing in my head at the moment. Think not as the world does. I like this. I think it's there. No, it's not. It's in the message. MSG is bad stuff you put in your food. I don't know if you know that, but this is not MSG. This is the Message Version Bible of 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 6. It says, this is cool, "The world is unprincipled." It didn't say this is cool. I'm starting with now. "The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we won't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade are not for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Wow. Gospel made simple. Seek God, know God, love people, represent Christ well. If you turn that backwards, you cannot represent Christ well if you don't love people. You cannot love people if you don't love God, and you cannot love God if you don't know God, and you cannot know God if you don't seek God. So I really want us to just, you know, there are steps of us going forward, and we need to follow those steps. For certain of us, the steps will be ABC, for others, DHG. That's not them coming of DHD. Jy het my die mekaar gemaak. So anyway, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We have everything we need. We literally have everything we need. We just don't know that. All of us just don't know that. But we have everything we need. Don't wait for more courage, boldness, faith, whatever. It won't come unless we do the will of God the Father, unless we do the will of the Father. And just to put in the Ephesians 1 verse 11 to 12, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. Let's get actively involved in our Father's business, because we have an inheritance. And so I want to end with that, just by saying that, you know, don't settle for anything less than God's best for your lives. And God's best for your lives will not stop with your lives. It will always flow over to someone else's lives. And I just read yesterday in, I think it was Luke 7, there in the beginning, where the centurion went on behalf of his servant, and he asked Jesus to heal his servant. Because, and then it says there, and I don't know if I have time to get there, but it says that he was, what was that word? It's like he greatly cared for his servant. This is quickly, I think maybe it is, yeah. Not greatly cared, it's an amazing word that really should motivate us to, it's going to, Matthew 7, Savior? Valued, that's the word. Yes, thank you. Bless you. You didn't sneeze, but bless you. So valued. If we really value people, you know, like God values us and people, it's crazy how much our lives would change. Because let's say I walk in a shop, and actually the Holy Spirit is telling me to pray for someone, but I really don't have a heart that values people, because I'm selfish maybe, or I value only certain people that fit into my paradigm or culture or box or whatever. So if I have a predestined thing here that's like, I don't really value people, only certain people, then the Holy Spirit can speak to me, but I most likely will not hear Him or will not act to that, because I won't value that person then. But if we really, you know, make it our prayer and our heart's desire to ask God to help us in this thing of valuing people, to create a culture, and that's why it's so amazing to pray for people whose birthdays it is, to celebrate people. I believe our culture is really sucky at the moment in terms of not celebrating people, not valuing people, degrading people, and just cliche, what's I done fun, making clickies, what is that? If you make only certain people who you are comfortable with, your group of friends, and then there's another group like that, it's like apartheid and what. So if we can just break down those walls and really ask God for us to have no walls in terms of valuing people, if we can really get it right to see the worth of God in each and every individual, we will not be able to walk past someone, and if they have a problem and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we will so badly want to pray for that person, because our heart's desire, well, we want to see that person well. Like that centurion, he wanted to see his servant well, and that's why at the end of the day he could intercede for him and God could make him whole. And that's just for me an amazing thought, that if we value people, our lives would definitely change as to how we, I mean, let's be honest, there are so many people that we just have a preconceived idea. We did just degrade them even in our minds. And then the heart of Christ is not totally in us then, because He doesn't see color, He doesn't see social status, He doesn't see racial status, He doesn't see anything except the Spirit which is within us, that He made us to be formed in the image and the likeness of God. So I want to end with that, and I just want to, I don't know, where's Dale? Kan jy dalk maar net so 'n stringetjie speel? Maar I just want to ask us, there are just a few, and this is, This is the thing, like when I came to salvation and many other people, it's one thing to say I'm going to go home and I'm going to work this thing on my own and just it gaan goed gaan. Ek weet wat ek moet doen, ek gaan dit doen. But then you try alone and it's not going to go all the way if we try this alone. So really the things that really changed my life was getting doing that step of boldness and not caring what people think or whatever. You know, really going forward, going forward in church is it's not about going forward. It's about humbling ourselves because God can give grace to the humble. He really can. And that's just amazing. Like when we humble ourselves and we're like, Sheldon is laughing at me. It's just amazing to see God's grace. I'm always surprised by the grace God gives if I humble myself. And if I don't humble myself, God humbles me. And that's even more humbling and not always so. It's painful, but it's awesome. You know, it's just amazing. So I really want to ask just a few groups of people and I'll just name them, and I want you to, and then the service is going to be officially ended, but you must please drink coffee, and just, we want to enjoy time with you, and spend time with you, and get to know each of you and stuff. But I want to say, if there's anyone who's unsure about their relationship with Christ, anybody who's like, man, I don't know if I'm born again, or what does it mean to be spirit-filled, or where am I with Christ, anybody like that, and you're not sure about where you will be going if you step out of this and a bus drives over you, which hopefully is never not going to be the case. But let's be honest, like anything can happen. You know, I was not driving on a plane because you can't, but I was flying in a plane this year, just 2 weeks ago or so, and this wing was just doing that. It didn't look good. The other one was fine. This one did like, it wanted to break and fall and kill people, but it didn't. But I was thinking, if this thing now breaks, because it really looked like it wants to, but maybe I was just paranoid. I was thinking, like, am I satisfied with how I will go now? You know, and the honest answer is no, because I can do so much more. I think all of us can do so much more. It's not about striving towards doing deeds for God. It's about that which he said about the gratitude that we have for what God did for us, to let that fill over into love for people and value for people. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not sure, and I mean 100% sure where you stand with Christ, I really want you to come, that we can just pray with you, me and the elders, just pray with you, stand with you, in the gap with you, and just say, God, let your kingdom come in this person's life. We really want to do that with you. And if there's anyone who knows that you're not walking in the fullness of Christ, and you know you're holding back so much, even maybe the reason may be that you don't value people as much as you should, or you're so busy with your own lifestyle. I mean, all of us do this sometimes, but I mean, if you really know it's something that hinders you, it's keeping you back from God's fullness. You maybe feel a calling from God to into a specific ministry, maybe in your workplace, or maybe on the sports field, or maybe, you know, in your study, wherever. I really want you to also come then forward just for us to really stand in the gap with you for this as well. So I don't want any of us to go here today if we haven't received prayer for something that's in our hearts, for man, God, I want to really be more in tune with your Holy Spirit. I want to know the backing I have in Christ. I want to know where I stand with you, Christ. I want to know any prayer request. If it's healing for your bodies, please come forward that we can pray with you, because we want to trust God that he will bring healing, even if it's emotional healing that's been needed, whatever it is, you know. So I just want to pray for us. And then afterwards, please, people, come that we can just pray and stand in the gap with you, because we are meant to do this thing together and not alone. So after I prayed, you can just come, and then the rest can drink some coffee and what. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have plans and purposes for us, God. Lord, you have a desire to see us walk in your fullness, Lord. You have a desire to see us manifesting your glory, Father. You have a desire to see us, Lord, conquering and not just surviving, Father. Lord, I pray that if there's any people here, God, which isn't sure where they stand with you, or which really wants to stop holding back and receive the fullness which you have. They want to have the Holy Spirit, Father God, and the backing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Father, where their heart's desire is to see your kingdom come, and they want to do this thing, but they've just struggled, Father, because maybe it's friendships or people holding them back or relationships or whatever, God. But let that not be affected today, Father God. But let just soften each and everyone's heart here today to say, yes, God, I believe I want to receive the call which you have on my life. And Father, I just pray that you would bless your people, Father God, as they go out in this week, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I speak life over this congregation, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I speak life, Father. May they receive your life and just your overflowing love, Father God. May it guide them in this week, Lord. Father God, may they be superly overwhelmed, Father, by your goodness and just your peace that you give, Father. And I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would protect and guide and show each and every person here the fullness which you have for them in the time to come, Lord, as they seek you, Father, to know you and to love you, Father, and to love people, to represent you well, Father, in this earth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.